Well, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you find yourself. We are so glad that you've joined us here on the Since You Asked podcast. My name is Alex, and I'm here with my co-host, Ben. Ben, how you doing today?
Hey, everybody. Doing well. It's going to be a good day tackling some questions.
That's right. I don't know what time or when people are listening to this. Maybe they've come back to it months from now, but the weather is broken here in Southern Illinois.
It's awesome.
It's been in the 50s.
Yep.
It's been a good day here at the end of February. It's a hard word to say. but we are excited to be here. We got a great question that's been sent in, one that we've kind of been looking at addressing for a while.
Yeah.
And
kind of become more relevant lately.
Yes.
So with really some issues in the news. So
yeah. But before we do that, of course, we have to get properly caffeinated.
It is almost 1:30 here at the time of recording, and we have hit the afternoon lull.
Yes.
So this is both a necessity, but also just something that we do every time here.
That's on right.
Since You Asked. So today we have a blend that was given to us.
Okay.
Best kind.
That's right.
This is Sweet Maria's. So if I understand correctly, this is a little bit different than we're normally used to when it comes to rating coffees.
Yeah.
These beans were gotten whole without roasting. Raw. I don't know how you...
They're coincidentally called green beans.
Okay, well, there we go.
But not that kind of
green beans. Not that kind of green beans. Yeah. So we were given this bag, and then one of our elders here at Redbrush was gracious enough to smoke roast them. And so he put them on his smoker, roasted them till they got to the appropriate level of roasting. I don't know how you go about that. But so he gave us this. So we're gonna rate it.
Yeah, and that's what we do.
We are sticking our necks out on this one. Like, it feels like we should just give a high rating just for the sheer fact that one of our elders gave us this.
Oh, yeah, 10.
But he wouldn't want that.
No.
If I know Darren, he would not want that. He would want an honest review of this.
And I was going to say, I mean, you really should just go ahead and say his name because we appreciate it.
Yes.
We give him a shout out. Darren, thank you.
Yep. Darren's a loyal listener. And so, Darren, we appreciate you, man. And can't wait to see the concoction you have put together for us.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
All right. Sweet Maria's.
Sweet Maria's.
Out of West Oakland, California, if you so desire to buy a bag.
But also out of East countryside of Louisville.
Yes. Finished in sure. Louisville. One sip. Everyone knows the rules.
I don't know if you smell the smokiness. Not overly.
Yeah.
In the cup.
Yeah.
I'm sure in the bag,
yeah. Too. Yeah. I get more of it there.
Yeah, I bet. I do like it. More of the smokiness there. Of course, that also could be the cloth bag.
It is one of those coffees that, like, you almost feel bad for saying this because of our rating system, but it's a solid cup of coffee.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing crazy. It's not bad at all.
I like it. I would drink this every day.
Okay. I think I'm ready to make a rating, I think.
Yeah, I've got a rating. I'm having a hard time describing it. I will say, when we poured it, and I was in the kitchen with Jonathan, and both of us kind of had the same thought. Looks a little weak.
Yeah.
Coming out. It looked... A little weak, but it's not.
Keep in mind that could have been the brewer that did that, which was me. So
there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
It's complex once you take a drink.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think I'm having a hard time. I do taste a bit of the smokiness, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's good. I'm confident in my score. I've got a 6.8.
Okay. I was going to go a 6.6.
Okay.
So...
I think we're getting dialed back in.
Yeah,
on our coffee score. You're a little wonky there.
We got a little high on some and a little low on some others. Okay, where does that put us in the list of coffees that we've done?
That is composite score exactly the same as the Beverlyn Hills we did. A few weeks ago.
Okay.
Above Squirrely Joe Respect Blend.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
In line with Door County German Chocolate Cake and Sunrise Coffee Collective. Coffees that we had great things to say about.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, I think Folgers was our kind of benchmark. We did last summer 5.0 straight across the board.
Oh, it's
yes. Definitely, so it's definitely better.
Definitely
than
better.
A,
than
a
that.
Few steps yeah. above that.
Yeah.
So
I think that's a proper rating.
Yeah.
I think
and,
we did well.
And for it being, you know, I will say I've never roasted coffee myself. Having spoken with Darren about it, talked to him, spoken with other people who've done it. It's not an easy process. Mm-hmm. So to do something like this at home, from what I understand, I'm guessing he yeah. did this on his smoker.
Yep.
That's a really, really great score.
That is. Nice job, Darren.
Yeah, absolutely.
I gave him a few hints, you know, a while back, just that I was out. And and man, he delivered. So
right.
Thank you, Darren. I appreciate it. And that's a good cup of coffee.
Yes. And Sweet Maria's, great job providing the green beans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who doesn't love a good vegetable?
Yeah. I feel like it's more, Darren's score than it is Sweet
yeah.
Marie's.
Yeah.
Sweet Maria's.
Sweet Maria's.
But I'm
yeah.
sure they have, some finished coffees too. So go check them out.
Yeah.
I mean, at very minimum, they provided some great beans.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. If you want to try the finished product from them, go ahead and order some.
Yep.
If you'd like to pass on a pot's worth to us to try the finished product, we would not oppose
we
that.
We would be fine with that.
You also could try and roast it yourself.
Yep.
And I know a person who could give you a little pointers.
Teach you the ropes.
That's right.
All right. Well, Alex, we've got a question today that is, like I said, more prominent,
yeah.
probably. So go ahead and walk us through that today.
Yeah. So this is a question that came in a little bit ago. And like you said, it's pretty poignant right mm-hmm. now. So it's, how do I rejoice in my suffering?
Hmm. Yeah.
And so I'm not sure if people are aware. We'll kind of get to some stories later on, but there's just been some news that's come out in the last few weeks from around the world about people going through suffering. But we've all gone through difficult times,
mm-hmm.
whether it's an actual, like, difficult, hard trial in our life, or even just living as a Christian in a culture where it's becoming increasingly post-Christian
mm-hmm.
and in some regards anti-Christian
sure.
or wanting our faith and our beliefs to change, to adapt to
yeah.
the culture.
Yes.
And so that makes it hard. And so the question is very, I think, applicable for all people. How do I rejoice in my sufferings?
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I would say to that is you have to understand that you're not the only one going through this.
Yeah.
You are not alone in your suffering. Of course, as Christians, where should we always turn to at first? We think of Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus had a few things to say about persecution,
mm-hmm.
And that he was persecuted. Like,
yeah.
yes, he died on the cross and that was planned out by God, but it was because of people's opinions of him.
Yeah.
They did not like the things he was saying, the things he was doing. But he says this in John 16:33. He says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Yeah.
So in that we see a promise from Jesus. Hey, you're going to have this.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to be taken away from you. This is not something that by following me, all of a sudden you're going to be insulated mm-hmm. from it. No, there will be tribulation.
Yep.
But take heart, because I've overcome these things. And
yep.
when your trust and your faith is in me, you will overcome them as well.
Yeah. You know, I think, and you and I have had conversations, you know, off camera, Alex, that one of the things that I despise the most that has crept into the Christian theology, if you want to call it that, is the idea of the health and wealth mm-hmm. prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel does not make allowances, ultimately, for the idea of persecution, suffering, and tribulation. It's always like that is something that could happen. You know, there's different ideologies on this, but one of them is like it can happen, but you have enough faith, God will remove that. Or there's others that would say, hey, suffering does not have to be a part of the Christian's life if you just have enough faith. And that's what infuriates me.
Yeah,
I you know, I don't hate much. I hate that doctrine because it's just not in line with what Scripture has said. The reality is in a sin-broken world, Jesus has promised us that you will have trouble.
Yeah.
Like it is the nature of living under the curse of sin. But ultimately, he has given us the promise that in the life to come, there will be no more of that. And that's what really bothers me is this idea that, hey, you can actually get rid of suffering now. Really? Because as you look at Scripture, I don't see where Jesus has said that.
No.
I think ultimately he said, I've overcome it, meaning I've overcome it so that in the next life, when everything is made new, there will be no more of that. But he's also promised to be with us in the middle of it as well. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to start there. It seemed like I always find a way to get that in. But don't buy the lie that if you're suffering or if you're persecuted, it's a lack of faith or your faith's not legitimate. In fact, what Jesus has said is, hey, you need to take this to the bank. Like tribulation, trials, suffering, persecution, wherever that falls in the spectrum for you, it is a part of this life. But hold on to Jesus because he's overcome it, and you will overcome it too at the end of all things when he returns.
Yeah, and what's another instance that's just frustrating, infuriating about that ideology, it's not even that persecution and suffering is said that you don't have to. It's even discomfort.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah. Are you poor? I saw, and it was, I can't think of his name. He does the Red Pen Logic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he posted one the other day, and it was Kenneth Copeland, mm-hmm. Popular health and wealth preacher,
yep.
Talking about
the guy who blew COVID away.
Yes. Yeah. He was talking about, like, if you need a car, just claim it. And mm-hmm. You know, and all these things. And he used his red pen and took that and kind of marked over where anytime it said, you know, God, I claim this car, and it made it to where, like, basically he was claiming Kenneth Copeland's car.
Yeah.
And it's like that mindset that you shouldn't be sick ever, or you shouldn't have any sort of discomfort, you should not be poor. It's not found in Scripture at all. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that we have tried to go, going back to the very beginning of the podcast, mm-hmm. We've tried to always say, like, we want everything that we say to come from Scripture. We want our opinions to be formed by that.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what we're giving, is our opinion, but we're trying to base it on the truth of Scripture.
Yeah.
And that's why you'll always hear us referencing Bible verses.
Yep.
Because it should be what drives everything. And so when you hear people say, you shouldn't have to go through persecution, or you shouldn't have to go through trials, well, Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Yeah. So when you're following me, when you're living the way that I've called you to, you're going to be persecuted, mm-hmm. but you will be blessed because of it.
Yeah.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He said, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account.
Yeah.
Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven.
Hmm.
For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That's yeah. Matthew 5, 10 through 12. That's Sermon on the Mount. Jesus went on to say this later in Matthew 10, whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And it's been said often, but it bears repeating because it's true. A cross has become a symbol we put on a shirt. Mm-hmm. It's a symbol we wear around our neck. It might have a tattoo of it. In that day, for Jesus to say, take up your cross and follow mm-hmm. me, those people knew what he meant.
Yeah.
It was an instrument of torture, of destruction by an oppressive government. Yeah. And Jesus is saying, it's okay. Take it on.
Yeah.
You're following me, not them. Hmm. There's no promise of protection, no promise that God is going to take it away. Mm-hmm. And so it's frustrating when this mindset creeps in.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things I'll just say about this idea of pain and suffering, I don't want to diminish it at all. And I think one of the things I've learned over the course of my life, I guess, is not to discredit someone else's pain, because here's what I know that all of us do. We tend to gauge somebody else's pain in their life based on what we've experienced. So if it's less than what I think I've experienced, they need to suck it up and move on. If it's more than what I've experienced, then I'll give them my prayers and sympathy and all that. Yeah. And what I've learned is like, hey, this is all over the map in pain and in trials and suffering. Like, it is just all over the place. We don't know what God has chosen for, or not chosen for each of us, but we don't know what life holds for each of us. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one important note to make, is the way that we relate to one another is important in that. We grieve with those who are grieving. We mourn with those who mourn. We rejoice with those who rejoice. And so we've got to make sure that we're not viewing this on the scale of, this is what I've experienced, so you need to suck it up, or vice versa. But then the other side of things is this. The promise that God has made us is that He is with us through this.
Yeah.
So you said in the first point, Alex, you're not going through suffering alone. And that is exactly right. I think of Psalm 34, verse 18. That says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Not a promise that it's never going to happen. Not a promise that He's going to take it away, but a promise that He is going to walk through this with you. And you and I both know in various areas of trials, and I'm not comparing our trials at all, but just in those moments where we really feel like God is teaching us through those, you do learn that He walks with you through it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you look at this idea of pain and suffering, yeah, it is so important that people realize God is walking in this with you. Yeah. He's not promised to take it away. And that's something our, especially Americanized ears don't want to hear. Like I don't know any person who wouldn't like the idea of the prosperity gospel actually being true.
Oh yeah. Sounds great.
You're telling me there's no pain, no trouble. I'm healthy. I'm wealthy. You know, all this stuff.
All I got to do is claim it.
Sign me up for that. But it's just not the reality. But the promise is even better.
Yeah.
That, hey, all those things that you're looking for in this life, that's to come in the next life. There will be pain and suffering and trouble and persecution in this life, but God Himself will be with you and walk with you through that. And there is comfort in that. It doesn't take away the pain, but it is reassuring to know that God is with me through this.
Yeah. And with that, I think of so many of the scriptures in the New Testament that the apostles wrote, whether it's Paul, who had quite a bit to say about being persecuted, endured quite a lot, but also some of the other apostles that wrote books such as Peter, James, the brother of Jesus, Jude.
Yeah.
There's so much that they all went through and had so much to say. But in this, I think what we see is just what we said, God was with them. Mm-hmm. Paul writes this in Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer.
Yeah.
How is it that we are rejoicing in the hope that we have while we're patient in tribulation? Well, it's by staying connected to the one who gives us that comfort.
Yeah.
He also says this is one of my favorite scriptures to go to when I'm having a difficult time, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And later on in chapter, I think, 12 of 2 Corinthians, mm-hmm. Paul goes into a whole list of things that he's been through.
Yeah.
beaten with rods, stoned, shipwrecked, mocked, abused, like all these different things. And at the very beginning of this letter, he writes this, blessed be the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, mm-hmm. who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God.
Yeah.
For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, again, there's that promise, mm-hmm. So through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too.
Yeah.
The same God who gave comfort to Christ when He was suffering on the cross is the same God who is giving comfort to us. Mm-hmm. It's just as the sufferings are an overflow of the world and Satan's contempt for the things of God,
yeah.
and they overflow into our lives as well. The comfort that God gives to us overflows from the comfort that He gave to Christ as well. And I love that passage. I turn to it often when I think about mm-hmm. these sorts of things. But the apostles, they knew these things.
Yeah.
You know, all of them faced persecution.
Yeah.
All but John, you know, history has shown us were martyred, were mm-hmm. killed for their faith.
Yep.
John, God spared for a purpose. Yeah. The writing of Revelation was still to come, but even before that, they tried to kill him. Mm-hmm. There's stories that he was brought into the Colosseum, dipped into a vat of burning oil, and in front of thousands of people.
Yeah.
And when they brought him out of it, he was unharmed. Mm-hmm. And from there was banished to Patmos. It's like, God's like, yeah, I'm not done yet.
Not done with you
yet. I got something for you.
Yeah.
And John's probably like, can I just be done? I don't want more. Yeah. But it was, for our benefit.
Yeah.
And another one that I turn to is the writer of Hebrews. He says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Yeah.
The joy that was set before him, he endured what he did on our behalf. The joy that was set before him was us being made right with God.
Yeah.
And he said, I will endure the cross. I will despise the shame for that.
Yeah.
And so when I think of the sufferings that we endure for our faith, we never know how God is going to use it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say that God orchestrates it. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Maybe sometimes he does, maybe other times he doesn't, but he uses it.
Yeah.
As you said in Romans, how will God use the difficulty that I'm facing to reach other people with the gospel?
Yeah.
That's ultimately what the writer of Hebrews is saying that Jesus had, and it's the same mindset that we should have. Mm-hmm. I'm going to endure this with the joy that is set before me, that God is going to use my pain, my difficulties. I will be comforted through it by his comfort, and in the end, he will receive the glory for it.
Well, you look at just in the church context today, now I think it's been surpassed, but for a while, the fastest growing church was in Iraq and Iran.
Yeah.
Two places where the persecution of the church was running rampant, and the church exploded. The statistics show that China and Asia is kind of the new hotbed of Christianity, and it's growing like crazy. And it's also the place where the church is being persecuted the most. I mean, you'll hear stories all the time of the Chinese government cracking down on churches and locking up pastors, and it is just fascinating, and it's proof of how God is using the church. I mean, you look at in the book of Acts when Stephen is stoned, the church spreads because they're running away from the persecution, and yet with them they take the gospel, and the church grows by leaps and bounds through that. And so God, because he is who he is, he takes what people meant for evil and he repurposes it for the purposes of the kingdom, and the church grows because of that. And so I think, and I know I'm getting ahead here, but we'll just go to the next point here, because I know one of the things that you wanted to talk about, Alex, was this idea of having a personal mindset, meaning let me just focus on myself, versus a kingdom mindset when it comes to persecution. I think you started to hit on that, because we need to understand that that when persecution or trouble or trials, tribulation, whatever you want to call it, breaks out in our personal life, we have the opportunity to just turn inward and focus just on the situation at hand, or begin to look over time as God gives us this grace to see how he is working in that. Now, I want to make this clear. I know there are people who are watching this that either have or are suffering things that I know maybe in my life I can't even imagine. I want to make sure you understand this. It is painful, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to paint this picture of like, hey, suck it up. Like, Jesus has come. He's overcome it. There's no need to be sad. No, absolutely not. Like, the Bible has been clear that this is painful.
Yeah.
We mourn, we weep, we grieve. It's hard to get up some mornings.
And we do it together. And I think that's together. One of the purposes of the church is to spur one another on, to encourage one another.
Yeah. But then also to understand that God will use this for his glory. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that to say, so get over it. Not at all.
No.
Like, mourning is okay. Grieving is okay. You acknowledging that it's painful is okay. But at the same time, trusting in God and relying on Him on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment, for some of you, basis, and realize that He is faithful to walk this through with you. God will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And so you need to trust in that. That's not going to take away the pain in the moment. Unfortunately, it's a part of life. We have to go through this, and some receive more than others. But the promise for all of us is that God will walk with us in this, and that there is hope of a day coming because of what Christ has done, where He will return and make all things new. And so, like, that is the hope that hangs at the end of the tunnel. You know, that's the light at the end of the tunnel. Jesus has come. He is won. There is a day when whatever I've lost or whatever pain I've received, I'm going to see the other side of that. But today there's pain.
Yeah. And, you know, with that personal mindset versus a kingdom mindset. Again, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for this light and momentary affliction, the things that we're enduring, they don't seem light and momentary at the time.
Yeah.
But he's saying, for this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison.
Yeah.
And that's when we begin to see that, like, there's more to this life than this life.
Yeah.
That there is something to come that will far eclipse all the joy that I've received in this life, all the pain I've received.
Yeah.
There is something greater coming. We begin to view our ups and downs in light of eternity, mm-hmm. instead of in light of the moment.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important for us, because without that, without experiencing that and knowing that, We can't rejoice in our suffering.
Yeah.
When this life is all that we have, mm-hmm. and we're going through a difficult time, we feel cheated. Yeah. I only have 80 years on this earth, and this moment is not what I want.
Yeah.
I'm being robbed of a good life right now.
Mm-hmm.
But when we have that eternal mindset, it's saying, this is nothing compared.
The good life still to come.
The good life is still to come.
Yeah.
Like, there will be no downs. It will only be ups, and the ups will be far greater than what I've experienced on this earth.
Yeah.
I will be in perfection with God, my creator, for eternity.
Yep. I've counseled quite a few people through loss or pain, you know, all across the spectrum of what that is. But and one of the analogies I've used, especially when they'll ask the question, like, when does this get better? One, I say, I can't answer that.
Yeah.
But I can give you a kingdom mindset. And I'm going to use this analogy that I give them is like, when you're sick, when do you feel better? When you feel better, right? It's like just you can start to improve, but you don't fully feel better until the sickness is gone. And I said, this is the way that, especially in major events, that pain kind of lingers and goes away. It's like, no, especially like the untimely death of a family member, spouse, or child, or whatever it is, like, that's not going to go away.
Right.
It may get a little better over time, but it's never going to go away totally.
Well, and it's going to ebb and flow. You're going to have good times and worse times.
Yeah, I can't imagine. But then I tell them this. One thing I know for sure, that at the end of all things, when Jesus comes and redeems what's been lost and makes new everything and gets rid of everything tainted by sin and restores everything that He has saved, that's going to be the day when it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, like, there is a day coming when it will be gone. And so it may stink in the here and now. It may be painful, but trust in Him that there is a day coming when all that you've lost is restored. And that's what you have to hold on to, I believe, to get through those times.
Yeah. And aside from having this kingdom mindset, I think it's also important that, you know, because we do live in the here and now, and we live in this this world, it's that we have a worldwide mindset as well.
Yeah,
it's understanding that, especially here in America, because we honestly have it so good. And I don't, again, we don't want to downplay the difficult things that some of our listeners might be going through, but we also can contrast that with things that our brothers and sisters in Christ are experiencing throughout the world.
Yeah.
And we kind of reference this at the top, but just a week ago, there was a story that came out of the Congo where 70 Christians, an entire church was found. ISIS had, I think, gone to their homes of 20 of them, drug them out, gathered up 50 more and took them into the church and beheaded them. I mean, again, I don't want to downplay, but yeah, I'm going through difficult times, but that's, it's nothing compared to what some of our brothers and sisters are facing. There's ones that, you know, I heard a story today where in some countries where they can't have the Bible, they will smuggle them in. They'll put them in balloons and fly them into these countries, and Christians will see them and know that's a sign, and they'll pop the balloon and a Bible will come out, and they will take it to their church and tear pages out because, and share it because they have no Bible.
Yeah.
That's all they have. We have it so good compared to so many of the people around the world. That it's important for us to understand, yes, I'm going through a difficult time, but man, God is good to me.
Yeah.
And God is good to those people as well.
Yeah.
So it's just a reminder for us to be praying, not only for those of us, you know, we talked about it's important to have a church system around us that helps us in those moments, but we're part of a global church.
Yeah.
And we need to be praying for them as well.
Yeah.
Lifting them up because, man, what an example they're setting.
Yeah.
That in the face of impending death, knowing like, okay, these people mean business.
Yep.
And especially, you know, when that first person gets killed and that second, and it's coming to you and you're like, I know I got the magic words that will take this away from me.
Yep.
And refusing to say it, saying, I will not deny my God.
Yeah.
Man, that's powerful.
Yeah.
And so I would encourage people to look into some resources like Voice of the Martyrs. And they have a magazine. You can get it for free. I actually brought this one. This is the most recent one I've got. This is all about Nigerian women who their husbands were killed and their willingness to forgive those people who killed their husbands.
Yeah.
Man, that really was, I'm like, I got to hang on to this.
Yeah.
Just powerful. And that's a free resource they'll send. There's Open Doors, persecution.com. And there's so many resources out there. Speak to a missionary in another country.
Yeah.
And we're going to have someone representing a missionary from another country with us this weekend.
Yep.
Man, they can tell you some stories about what goes on in some places.
Yeah, it's and if you want to be encouraged in your faith, like go to those resources. I know one of the stories for me that's had a profound impact is back in 2015. It may have taken place in 2014, but the video was released in 2015 of the 20 Egyptian Coptics that were beheaded on the beach in Libya. And then there was one man from Ghana. And the story that's come out, there's been some conflicting reports, but doesn't really matter. The story that came out of the man from Ghana was that he was not a Christian at the time. And some reports say he became a Christian shortly before. Some say it was during that moment. But as the members of ISIS were seeking to behead, starting to behead them all on the beach, he says when they asked him to renounce Christ and to convert to Islam, he said, "Their God is my God."
Wow.
And it was just like, You don't have to go through this. Yeah. You know, if there's one of you that can seem to get out of this, it's you. And he's like, no, I see the authenticity of their faith. I see how much they value Christ, and I'm putting my trust in him too. Yeah. Again, I don't know if it was that moment that he, you know, professed his belief in Christ, if that happened earlier. Either way, it doesn't matter.
Right.
What you know is like this man saw the reality of who Jesus was, and that man, this death that I'm facing, it's just a moment.
Yeah.
The pain, the trouble, the persecution, the suffering, whatever it is for you, it is just a moment compared to eternity. And it may be a moment that is agonizing and brutal and feels like it lasts forever. But when you get to the other side of eternity and you see who Jesus is and what he's done for you and the life that he's now set before you, you'll realize that that moment was worth it. That is hard to say now, But you'll stand on the other side and realize if that moment brought me closer to Jesus, it was absolutely worth it.
Absolutely. And so with our question, how do I rejoice in my suffering? Again, we said, you just understand you're not alone. Mm-hmm. Jesus went through it. The disciples went through it. And our brothers and sisters around the world are going through it.
Yeah.
But it is only through our relationship with Christ that we are able to rejoice in the midst of hard times. I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 12, just that first portion that we read earlier. But fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It's only by doing that that we're able to endure the difficulties that are to come while maintaining our faith and by rejoicing in it.
Absolutely.
Fix your eyes on Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, hey, I think that's going to do it for today's question. If you have a question that you'd like to send to us to have us discuss on a future episode of the podcast, you can send that to question@redbrushcc.org. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, we would love if you would leave us a 5-star rating and leave us a review. That simply helps this podcast get seen by more people and allows the reach to extend here at Since You Asked. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Again, that just helps get this out to more people and have more questions to answer. So for Alex, I'm Ben. Thanks so much for joining us here on Since You Asked, and we'll see you next time.